All right, welcome back to the podcast, CJ. Thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of big things went down with you over the past couple months. Let's start off first with a big announcement, I guess. Did you sign a contract?
Yes, I did. Yeah, so it's been an interesting couple months, obviously, just with everything going on in the world, and I've had a lot of big changes personally. But it's been like a weird time to kind of announce everything. But yeah, so after the trials, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks after or so, I signed a contract with Brooks Running. So I'll be representing them moving forward. I actually already was representing them as part of their Hometown Heroes program that they had leading up into the trials. So I was racing in their kit, but now I'm, kind of like one of their, I guess, professional runners, you could say. So it's really cool. I always thought that I could be in this position, but then after college, it didn't really seem like that would be a possibility. And it was kind of just, yeah. So it's just amazing to be in this position where I can, like make money running and, be representing a brand that I really like. So it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Big congrats. I know that's like everything that we daydreamed about when we were little kids. Did you think like that you had a shot to go pro like on the track when you were at ASU and just kind of never imagined that it would be in the marathon? Or did you kind of have that in the back of your head the whole time?
When I was younger, yes. When I was at Arizona State, no. I mean, going up through high school, I mean, I felt like that was maybe a possibility. Because I had pretty good success in high school. I always knew it'd be a long shot, but then when I got into college, I mean, just some of the struggles I had in college, it just really, I mean, there was no rational way I could think that I could ever go pro. I just wasn't really, I wasn't anywhere near good enough. So yeah, I never really thought about the marathon though. It just, yeah, so it is kind of surprising. I mean, in college, I would have never thought that I'd be running pro as a marathoner. Like that was not on my radar at all. Even though, I mean, I did feel like I had unfinished things in running and like I could be great one day. I just had no idea what it would be like and if it would ever actually happen.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like maybe before Evan Jaeger came on the scene, you might have saw like a glimmer of hope in the steeple because American steeple was kind of like you can almost go pro with like an 8:25 even. But then Jaeger just came in and like brought it way, way down from that, and everyone's like, "Oh, this is what American steeple should be like."
Yeah, he was already on the scene when I started steepling, but yeah, even when he first started, I mean it, I think my fourth year, yeah, my redshirt junior year at the time, the Olympic trials standard was 8:40, and the year before or the trials before 8:40 would have got you in, and then that year like way more people than. Because I think they took 24 or 28 people, and way more than that ran under 8:40. I think you ended up having to run like 8:36, and then it's just basically gotten faster, pretty much every year. So yeah, initially I was thinking, oh, I can maybe make the trials in the steeplechase, and that was pretty reasonable. I had ran 8:45, and so 5 seconds isn't a huge jump, but yeah, I never really ran what I thought I could run in the steeple, and then I would always just get weird little bang up injuries. I'm sure like every steepler gets, and I probably wasn't a natural steepler. I'm not real flexible, and I have kind of short, stubby legs. So it, I don't know. I mean, I had some success in it, but I wasn't a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, you'd definitely be on the shorter side for steeple, but you would be, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you have been like the second professional Buchanan alum? Wasn't like Kyle Alcorn or something like that a professional steeple went to Buchanan?
Yeah, he went to the Olympics actually for the steeple. So
Yeah.
yeah, I guess there is some tradition there.
Yeah,
But
that's.
I he was a, I think he was a lot more of a natural steeplechaser than me, and he ran like I think he went to Arizona State as well, so there's even more connection there. But he ran, I believe he ran 8:20 when he was at ASU, so he's a little bit different caliber than I was.
Yeah. I never knew he went to ASU too. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was. I think he was a part of the team when they won. They won indoor nationals, and I think he won the 3K indoors. And I think it was the same year they won as a team as well. Yeah.
That's cool. So as far as like with Brooks goes, I mean, I remember when Shadrack went over from ASICS to Brooks, he told me that he kind of had to join Hanson's, I guess, even though he wasn't really going to move out there. And he said that like kind of their new contracts are where you almost have to be a part of a team. Did they ask you to like officially get a coach or like be an unofficial member of any of the running clubs or anything like that? Or are they cool with you just keep doing your thing because you're doing so well at it?
Yeah. So they didn't really ask. They basically are just letting me continue to do what I've been doing. And part of it is, you know, because of the way I've been training, it kind of lends itself to doing some longer stuff too, you know, maybe some like 50Ks or even a 50 miler in the, you know, kind of more longer term. And I think that that's part of what they kind of wanted to get into, kind of like a little bit of that ultra scene. And just, you know, the way I train, that's kind of a natural, probably where I'm going to be headed at some point. I mean, I'm still going to be focusing on the marathon for sure, but I'll have the ability to do some other things in the future. So yeah, I mean, as of right now, I'm going to be training kind of similar to what I've been doing and, you know, just taking advantage of the way I can train and do some other stuff in addition to the marathon.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool to have that freedom and that trust from your sponsor. So that kind of takes you to the trials. I mean, you said you're still going to be focusing on the marathon. I mean, I would think to me, you've got to be, I mean, I know you personally. So to me, you're a favorite for 2024. But I think even for other people, if you show consistency over the next 3 or 4 years, like you're going to be a lot of people's favorite to make the team for sure. Well, most of the 6 guys ahead of you are pretty old, honestly. So, like, let's get into the recap. I mean, tell us about the race and everything, dude.
Yeah, I mean, so going into it, I mean, top 10 was a big goal. Obviously, I wanted to make the team. But just, I mean, from what I had done, making the team was going to be, you know, pretty hard. But I thought there was a long shot possibility I had. But top 10 was like, that's going to be really solid if I can be top 10. So going into the race, I felt good going in. I mean, training had gone about as well as I thought it could go. And when I got there, I mean, it was just really fun the whole weekend just leading up to it. I was there with my wife, Chelsea. She had qualified, so we were going to be running together. And Atlanta Track Club just did a great job putting it on. I mean, we had every meal they had for us, basically. And there was like over 700 competitors. So it just,
right.
They had like all these buffets and it was like, it was just really easy. They made everything really easy and all of our like packet pickups and they had to like check our shoes, check everything about our uniform. Cause there's all these regulations, even for your warm-up clothes that I had no idea about. but that was all, it was so seamless. I mean, with over 700 athletes there, like I didn't wait more than maybe 5 seconds everywhere I went. It was just like wherever I had to go to check in or do whatever, it was just right when I showed up, someone was there, took care of me, it got done. Same with like, you know, you turn in your water, your bottles that they put out on the course for you. That whole process took like 20 seconds for me. Obviously, for the Atlanta Track Club, it took hours and hours and weeks of preparation, but for the athletes, it was just incredibly simple. So it made going into the race, I just, you know, it just calms nerves because everything was just taken care of well. And I just felt really good going in. I mean, it was so cool being on the starting line. I think I was like right next to like Chris Derrick and my whole line, there was a bunch of fast people, but I know I was just standing right next to him. And then right in front of me is like that whole front group, like Galen Rupp and Bernard Lagat was like, I mean, all the good people, Opti, like everyone was there just like I'm like touching them, and I'm just standing there, you know, you're just standing there the 10 minutes before the race on the starting line, and I'm like this is all these guys I've watched for years and years I'm now racing against, and in my mind I knew like I can beat pretty much all of these guys too, like this is crazy, how is this happening, how am I in this spot. Yeah, so basically a little recap of the race went out. I tried to just kind of relax the first mile, and then I knew my plan going in was I wanted to run the downhills just at same effort and not really hold back. So when we kind of turned the corner and we got on the Peachtree, Luke Pasedra kind of made a move to the front, and I was back a little ways. I was probably in like 50th place or something, but when I saw him go, I was like, oh, cool, someone's going to run the downhills. And it was windy, so I was like, well, I might as well go with him and then just draft off of him. Cause I didn't at that time is a mile into the race. So I didn't know what the pack was going to do, if they were just going to run really conservatively or if they were going to run hard too. So I didn't want to take a chance on being in the pack. I wanted to make sure I ran the downhills, you know, like not holding back. So I went with Luke and just kind of sat behind him for the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles. And that kind of got me engaged in the race, and it was just, it really calmed everything down, because I'm like, okay, now I'm just running. And it felt really good to just kind of be out front running with him and not having to do any mental effort. I wasn't going to lead at all. So yeah. And then the pack ended up catching us, and then I'm like, okay, I'm in now. The pack's going to run fast, so I can just kind of, you know, it's going to be an honors race. So then I just tucked into the pack and just tried to zone out for as long as I could. And then I think Rupp made a move. Well, some people had broke away, but Rupp really made a move around like halfway. And it kind of broke the race open at the end of the second loop. And then that's when things like kind of got a little bit hard, where it's like, okay, now I'm racing a marathon. It doesn't feel quite as good. and like that 16th mile is really hard. And that's when things really opened up. And like the two packs really got separated. So I was in that second group. Really just trying to hang on, because I knew once we looped back around and got to the downhill section, I'd be good, because I felt I could run downhill better than most people. So I just tried to stay on. I kind of got detached from the pack a little bit on those uphill miles, but I stayed close enough that when we got back on the Peachtree on the third loop, I could catch back up and just sit in the pack. Yeah, and then I use that downhill section, and it goes all the way to about mile 20, and then you have 6 miles left. And Jake Riley, so he was in our group, and right when we turned around Peachtree, I didn't really know what happened at the time, but looking back, I figured out what happened, because we were all in a pack. There was maybe 12, 15 of us, and we literally turned around at the corner of Peachtree, and then everyone was just by themselves, like almost instantaneously. And I was like, what the heck just happened? It was like, because Jake went hard, and and you start going uphill, and then everyone just kind of split up, and then some people pushed really hard for that next mile, and I just kind of like stayed constant, and I think I was around like 20th place or so, and then after that initial mile of going really hard, everyone started to come back, besides Jake, obviously, and yeah, and then I just picked people off until the finish. Around 23 miles, I moved into the top 10, and then I was able to pick off two more guys, like right at the, with about less than a mile to go. So yeah, I just felt, I don't know, it felt good.
Yeah, for sure. It's very interesting to see, like, how many people you can pick off in the last 10K if you're just keeping it together, basically. Like, I did not know that you were still in, like, 20th at, like, mile 20. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, once Rupp really broke away, kind of all the coverage just went to him, you know? And so I'm really interested in the rest of the race, especially if, like, I know Rupp's going to win. It's almost like, okay, I kind of want to see the rest, you know? So it's really cool to hear that. Obviously, people kind of know now that you do a little bit longer of a runs than other competitors. And you did have a good point that it's more like time on your feet, and you running 30 miles in Fresno time wise maybe might not be that much more than someone running 24 up at altitude in Flagstaff or something. But do you think that like that contributed to you high mileage, high long runs, high volume all the time, you being able to hold on the last like even 3 miles better than other people?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. I mean, you want to believe your training gives you the edge. But yeah, I mean, almost all of my long runs were a marathon or more. And I pretty much all my long runs, I close pretty hard. I was trying to close them, you know, like under 4:50 pace or so. So, I mean, I had practiced that, like running really hard at the end of a long, long run. So yeah, I mean, the race really wasn't any different for me than like a training run. It was just like it gets pretty hard and then you find a way to finish well, or at least like maintain effort. I think I knew that I was going to run good, and like I probably wasn't going to blow up because I had just run so many long runs. It was like I do this every week, so like it's not like this race is going to be any different where I'm just gonna explode the last 10k. It was just kind of a matter of, in my mind, it was just, can I close averaging under 4:50 pace the last 10K and make the team? Or am I just going to average around, you know, 4:58 to 5 flat that last 10K and be top 10? And that's kind of how it was. If I could have ran with Jake the last 10K and ran as fast as he did, you know, then I could have been with him and been, you know, second or third. But I just kind of ran that, kind of just maintain the same effort a little bit. And so that was good for seventh. But so, yeah, I mean, it kind of played, my training and race kind of played out almost exactly how I thought it would go. Obviously I want to figure out how to get to that next level and be able to close harder. But you know, I mean, this is my first really big stage marathon like this. So I guess, you know, I have some time to learn.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a part of it might just be age, honestly. I mean, prime age for a marathon can be like 31 years old and you're like, what, 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Super young for a marathon. So really cool to see the insight of like the actual race and what went down the last 10K. Talk to us about after the race a bit. Like, how was it? I think your family was there, right? As well, obviously, as Chelsea. And also, on the other side of that, did you have any of these guys, these veterans, like coming and talking to you and being like, who the heck are you? Or, hey, I saw you from Pac-12, like, you know, congrats. Because I think a lot of people that weren't paying close attention were probably shocked that you took seventh, you know. So what was it like after the race?
After the race was, I don't know, it was kind of weird, actually, because when you finish, there's like no one around because the athletes were in this fenced off area. And when I finished, I mean, the top three people, they kind of take aside because, you know, they do all the stuff with them. And so right. There was only three other people in front of me that weren't whisked off. And so I was kind of just by myself for like at least 15 minutes after the race, because there's just kind of no one there. And then you go back to like the tent and grab your stuff, but no one's really there because not a lot of people have finished yet. And the fans can't get into that area yet. So it was weird. I'm just kind of like, and you're also really tired. So it's like, you can't move that well, but yeah. It was actually a really cool moment to kind of have by myself. Cause I was just like, I just got to kind of soak it in and be like, wow, like that actually happened. Like I mean, there's been so many times I've gone into big races, like knowing that I could do really well. But I mean, it's just like, you know, for example, like being at like Wisconsin and NCAAs and thinking like, oh, I can be like top 10. Like I've never been anywhere close to top 10, but I think I could still do it. And then it's like, I end up being like 60th or 70th, which was probably more realistic. So going into this race, it was like, I think I can be top 10, 20th to 30th is probably most realistic. But, you know, so then when I'm actually seventh, I was like, wow, like this happened. And I just was, I don't know. I mean, I was just kind of like crying to myself, but like just so many emotions, and it was just really cool. So then after that, my family was able to make it into this little, they have a little section for family and stuff. And then Chelsea's parents were there too. And we waited for Chelsea to finish. And then we just kind of all hung out there, and yeah, just a lot of emotions. And it was just a great time. I didn't talk to like a ton of people after. I mean, most people just kind of went off with their families, and you know, I didn't see tons of people after the race, but I did remember, I was at the little awards thing, and, I remember Scott Fawell like came up and said congratulations. And, I had met him on my visit to Portland in college, or when I was in high school, he was in college. But I hadn't really talked to him since. And so I was kind of surprised he even remembered that. But yeah, he just said like, congratulations, and it was a great race and everything. So that was nice, especially cause I mean, he's been a guy I've been watching and kind of following, since college, and it's been great to see his progression, and what he's done in the marathon. And obviously he didn't have the race he would have had wanted to, but he was still, you know, very, congratulatory of others. So that was cool. But yeah, and then I took a picture with Dez. she went to ASU, obviously, and I had gone to like the Brooks PR Invitational when I was in high school, and I had just signed to ASU when I went to that meet, and she was there, and so like I like took a picture with her. So it was kind of like a cool thing. It was like 10 years later, like it's like kind of like the same picture but in a totally different setting, and now we're both running for Brooks and had both gone to ASU, so that was cool for me, and I've always been a huge fan of hers.
Yeah, for sure. That's super cool to just have that come full circle. Both do a full career at ASU, and just, yeah, that's awesome. Let's see. So moving on from the trials, I guess, you are still a junior college coach at Clovis Community College, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then did they just bring you on, like, as a full-time professor?
Yeah, so I had been a part-time professor and then coach, and then now they just hired me on as full-time faculty. So now I'm part of, like, the PE Kinesiology Health Department as a full-time professor, and then obviously I'll still be coaching. But so that's really exciting. It kind of gives more stability to my just to what I'm doing, and kind of like it's like, okay, like, because when you're part-time you don't really know what's going to happen in the future, and you know, it's like if other full-time jobs come along, it's like, you know, you may have to leave. So it's just comforting knowing that, like, okay, I have a full-time job now, and hopefully I can stay here for, I mean, it's where I want to be, so hopefully I can stay here for the rest of my like teaching and coaching career. And so, yeah, it's just relieving. And I really love Clovis. It's just a great college, and like all the staff on campus is just, they're just great people. I don't know. It's just a really great place to work. And I'm excited because it's a good job. That's really conducive to running. I think if I didn't do anything else besides just run, I don't think I'd be very good. I really need routines, and I need things to like keep me in routines, and I need other things to do because my mind just gets really obsessive, and I need like things to keep me balanced. And so this is kind of like a perfect thing where it's not a crazy, crazy demanding job. And, you know, I'm not traveling all across the country like I would if I was coaching D1 or something. But it's kind of like that perfect blend of, you know, I have things to stimulate me in other ways, and I think coaching really helps me as a runner, so that's another good thing. And but it also allows me to train when I need to, so yeah, I'm really excited because I really believe that it makes me a better runner, and obviously I love what I do. I mean, teaching and coaching is great, and I'm doing it at one of the best places in my opinion. So
yeah, for sure, definitely congrats on that. I mean, doing that is almost like a dream job in itself. Like if you weren't able to run professionally, I think coaching junior college and being able to be a part of the faculty is almost a dream job for a lot of other runners as well. So having the best of both worlds is really cool. So what's ahead for you right now? It's really weird. Like, I wanted to run 2 marathons this year, and now I don't even know if the one I'm signed up for now will get canceled or not. So what's it like for a professional runner? Like, are you just getting really fit? Or are you kind of just maintaining and waiting for things to come back? Or what are you up to?
Yeah. So the past month I've been just not doing, a ton, I guess. I think part of it is good because I, basically since last summer, I've been going pretty hard. From around like the end of July to CIM, I trained pretty hard, and then I couldn't really take any time off in between CIM and the trials because they were so close. So from basically July to like the trials, I was going pretty hard, and maybe I had a few somewhat down weeks, but not really. So it's kind of been like an extended break where, you know, I've been doing some running, but I wouldn't necessarily call it training. I'm kind of starting to transition back into like actually training again. I'm not in great shape right now, but there's also like there's no races or anything soon. But I think that is something that I have to do, because I can train. When I do train, I train pretty hard and I enjoy it. But I've also found like when I do kind of take extended time off, I don't like it, but I think in the long term it's better, and I know it doesn't harm me. I mean, when I stopped running after college, I was not training a whole lot, and then it didn't take me a long time to get back into like real good race type shape. So yeah, I think it's good for the longevity of my career to have months or two that are really kind of low key. And just cause there was so much excitement that's happened in the last like 6 months, I think that I really needed this kind of time for everything to slow down cause I think I could have just kind of kept riding the high and, you know, had another good marathon or so, but I think eventually like my body would have got tired. So this kind of just, I don't know, just cause I mean, with all the excitement of being hired full time and then like the trials and all the coaching stuff, and then we're buying a house now too. It's just like, there was so much. And if I was like continually to just keep with that high level of training, I probably would have just been exhausted at some point. So yeah, I'm just kind of getting back into it now. Hopefully there'll be fall marathons. I really want to run a fall marathon. Possibly Chicago. It's on my birthday this year, so I'd love to run that on my birthday, because it's usually a fast race, and it's like, I don't know, you have to run good on your birthday. So,
Yeah, I was thinking about Chicago too, but it's a lottery if you're not elite, and I looked and it's already full. So I think I'm going to do Ventura, but I don't think Chicago will get canceled. So it'll be really cool to see what you can run on that course after running the trials course, which was so hilly, you know?
Yeah. I know, I'm hoping that I'll run faster on a flat course, but it was weird because the trials, like, it didn't feel, the hills didn't feel that hard. And I don't know if it was just I was feeling really good that day, because I'm not really a hill runner. I've never been good on hilly courses. But the inclines, I think the grade they were at were good for me, or at least I was at least average on the uphills with that specific grade. But then on the downhills, I was so far above average that I think I don't think I was running faster than I would on a flat course there. But I think, like, because some people were saying, oh, it's 3 minutes slower than a flat course. And I don't think that was true. I don't know. I don't think I was running 208 that day. But who knows? I mean, if I can run 208, I'll take it. So
if you can relate it to like cross country, it kind of reminds me of Mount Sac. Like, I don't think those hills are that hard, but it's like something like over 800 meters of the course, which isn't even a full 3 miles, is like steep downhill. And like, once I figured that out, I was just like, oh, I can just bomb these downhills and run faster than people that are technically better than me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say the Mount Sac hills are hard. But yes, you can run really fast on the downhills, and there is more downhill on that course than there are uphills.
Yeah, for sure. Like the one coming down from the switchbacks is so long, and then the one coming down from or is so steep. It's like those hills suck. Like Poop Out Hill sucks, but like the other ones, it's like just get up them and then you can just fly down.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, because in that, the only thing, the good thing about that course is every uphill is immediately followed by a downhill. So, right. So yeah, if you can just maintain on the uphills and then you, and really know how to run the downhills, then yeah, you can be good on that course. But yeah, the hills are, I always struggle up the hills.
I thought it was easier than Woodward because like, dude, training in Exeter and Visalia, you just run on a flat canal every day. So I hated Woodward for some reason.
I liked Woodward, but I had a lot of good races there, so that's probably why I liked it. And Mount Sac, yeah, I only raced twice, and they were both just kind of okay.
So you talked about a little bit about ultras maybe in the future. Talking more on like the immediate future, do you think you would like get on the track and try to run like the trials or the USA like 10K or anything like that? Or are you pretty much done with that?
Well, I was thinking about doing that this year, actually. But obviously, yeah, that didn't happen. So I don't know. We'll see next year. I mean, yeah, I definitely do want to run on the track and I want to run a 10K on the track. Maybe even a steeple again on the track. I was teaching our athletes hurdles and I don't know. For some reason, I feel like now that I'm coaching it, it just seems so much easier to do personally. So I kind of run a steeple again just to like at least run under 840 just because it really bugs me that I never ran under 840 because it doesn't seem that good. I don't know if I'll ever run one or not, but I definitely want to run a 10K. We'll just kind of see how things go. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think it could be relatively successful. I mean, your mile speed like isn't that bad for being, I mean, I would say you're a marathoner now. Like I think the marathon's probably your best event, but like, didn't you run like 402 or 403 or something for the full mile?
Yeah, I ran 403. I only ran the mile a few times in college, but yeah, my best was 403, but my second best is like 410 or something. So I just had one good race, but I never raced the mile, so I don't know. I would like to break four one day. Just my brother-in-law Seth is if you want to train your partner to break four, he's trying to break four right now. So so I don't know. Maybe one day it's just such different training. It's hard. I don't know if I'll ever break four, but I think I do have natural speed that I could run a decent 10K. I'd like to run at least like, if I could run like 28:20 or something, I think that would be good. Good enough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, even just 403 like mile speed is good in a 10K, except for those races where they just jog for 5 miles and then run like a 410 at the end. But it would be awesome to see you on the track again. I definitely want to get a good marathon in because I messed my first one up. So that's what I'm doing this fall. But after that, I actually have really good training partners that I'm coaching right now that all want to get back on the track. And they're like, a couple of them ran like 48.1 in the 400 in high school and like can run like 150 in the 800 and stuff. And so just to be able to have those guys, and then one of my other runners, Ross, is more of like he's more like us, like he's a miler, but he's more of like a 5K, 1500 type of guy. And so just to have all those guys and all try to break four or do something crazy like that, it'll be really exciting because it is a lot easier, even though it's way more mileage. To me, it's a lot easier to train for a marathon all by yourself than to try to break four because you have to do these crazy speed workouts all by yourself. And it's like you can only get so pumped up to run like way under 4 minute pace until you're full of lactic acid, like all alone.
Yeah, know? No, it's like, yeah, training for a mile by yourself is really hard. Even doing speed stuff, when I do it by myself and then I'd hop in with some of our 800 guys that I'd be coaching. And I was always, whenever I'd run with them, I'd always be so surprised. I'd look at my watch and be like, what? Did we really just run that fast? It felt so easy. But it's just like when you're running with people at that speed, I don't know, just, I mean, anytime you're running with people, it seems easier, but really when you're pushing like that, it's like, yeah, you need people. And, so yeah, I mean, that's why I do like another reason I like coaching is because I can hop in with them at like when they're doing 200s or even some hard 400s, and it kind of keeps me fast a little bit. So, and forces me to do some speed stuff that I know I need to do, but I don't, you know, always do it, because you just get into that marathon mentality mode. But it's like staying with the young guys that are trying to race the 800, you know, keeps you sharp. So, and I don't like getting beat in anything. Even the hundreds, we do like some hundreds, and I can't. I mean, they could take me in the hundred. It really irritated me. Even though it was like a week after my marathon, I was still pissed. But whatever.
Yeah, you're in marathon mode, and you don't want to lose a dash.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I think we should all break four. Like, I don't care if high schoolers do it and we do it at like 28 years old. Like, I don't care. Like, it's still cool to say that you're in the sub 4 mile club. Yeah. So, yeah. You and Seth and my guys all have to try to do it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, dude, congrats on the Brooks contract. That's amazing. Congrats on the trials again. The coaching, the house, everything. Super awesome. Thanks for coming on and catching up. And I'm sure we'll keep in touch as your career progresses. And thanks for always coming on the show, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And I'll be following you too, or following you as well. And hopefully your, you know, next marathon goes great.